Welcome to the Chrissy Crash Podcast. I'm Chrissy Crash, a former smoker, drinker, fast food eater, unhappy bartender, transformed into a roller derby athlete, runner, and fitness coach. Each week, I'll bring you an insightful guest or lesson learned from my own perfectly imperfect life to help you uncover how to create more love, light, joy, and health in your everyday experience despite the chaos and challenges. I believe that life is a contact sport. Let the games begin. This episode of the Chrissy Crash Podcast is brought to you by A Crash Course in Transformation. If you want to get fitter, faster, stronger, leaner, happier, more organized, and just have a super badass life, then A Crash Course in Transformation is for you. Through customized workouts, nutrition education, one-on-one coaching, and a badass community, we help you create the life that you love and get on the path to sustainable living in just 12 weeks. Click the link in the show notes to join us or go to chrissycrash.com. Boom. Perfect. Awesome. Cool. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Chrissy Crash Podcast. Super excited. We have a super fun podcast today. We are chatting with Kessie Hodges, who is the owner of Lady K Loves. And she and I actually got connected through, like, randomly through, like, a Facebook
or
Instagram post. You guys posted something about Whip It. And, like, someone tagged my friend Iron Maven, and then she tagged me. Oh, let it be known there's bells in the background here in the Canary.
Oh, nice. And a dog. Hey. Who does not like bells?
A dog who doesn't like bells. Sit. There we go. Yeah, so we just basically got connected, like, randomly through this Instagram post. And it was funny because, like, I was looking through your Instagram and I'm like, oh, this shit is cool. Like, it was very, like, real life women. And I love the vibe. And I reached out. I'm like, do you want to be on my podcast? And you're like, that's so funny. I was just about to reach out to you and be like, do you want to wear my jeans?
I was literally in the gym and I was getting really excited because I'd seen you guys get tagged in stuff. And I was like, fuck, this is great. Like, when I get home, I'm going to do this thing. And then, like, I went in the changing room and had this message from you. And I think I must have left you, like, I use the audio function a lot, and I left, like, the most garbled, overexcited, sweary message, just like, let's do this, like, I can't believe you messaged me and I was gonna message you, like, great. It's really, really good. Totally made my Friday.
Hell yeah, that was actually how I knew that it was gonna be a good fit for us to chat, because you left me this really sweary message and I was like, oh, I think we just became best friends.
Yeah, like, I can't help it, I try not to swear and I'm just not.
Oh, I gave up. I gave up a long time ago. So fuck yeah, you can swear on this podcast.
Fucking excellent.
Yes. So I wanted to talk a little bit first about, you know, it sounds like there is a very, you and I sound like we have a very similar philosophy just in terms of, like, women and self-love. And it looks like, you know, from what I've seen from your brand, that you guys very much are about, like, putting, like, real women out into the world, real women in marketing, real women in branding. Like, tell us a little bit about that, like, what your commitment is to that, your philosophy behind it.
Yeah, so I grew up a combination between, like, a small little kind of rural town in the Southwest and then lived in Manchester. And, like, the Southwest is very kind of it's very white and very kind of middle class. And then where I was living in Manchester, you know, I went to a local grammar school, but at a point that it had a lot of, you know, I was in the minority there. And that was a really interesting experience when you're about 13 to then I ended up moving back down to the rural town and seeing the huge difference between being in an environment where I'd kind of been the minority and then suddenly being in an environment where it was totally the other way around, and actually really seeing how important it was that anybody who wasn't your kind of, you know, I hate these words, but your kind of standard or stereotype, or what you like, what it must be like to not see yourself reflected back in advertising. And so I guess I've kind of, you know, I've been brought up in an environment where it's about supporting people who may not have a voice. And I think I've definitely been brought up to be a feminist. And I think that modern femininity or feminist, why can't I say that word? You know what I'm trying to say. Modern feminism is like, I'll get there. It needs to be much more inclusive. And I think there's some really wonderful people out there doing some great stuff. Like in the UK, there's a woman called Florence Given, who is just amazing. Lizzo is obviously absolute queen.
We love Lizzo.
Oh my God, she's so cool. And I'd also kind of seen this whole thing where I was aware that I was commenting on posting and like really celebrating, you know, there's an Instagram page called Black Pinups. There's one that's Pinups of Colour. There's these hashtags that go around. And I was really kind of joining in and celebrating on that. But was aware that actually then when I looked at my feed, I was really embarrassed. I was like, fuck, I'm saying all this stuff, but I'm not actively like engaging it and doing it. So I do make sure that what I try and put out there is really inclusive and celebrates all sorts of people. I also think like I hate how much the fashion industry and the beauty industry is all about, you know, you're not skinny enough, you're not pretty enough, you need to have more makeup on, but also don't be caught wearing makeup because that's bad too. And like you must care about your appearance, but you're also not allowed to tell anyone that you care about it or be proud when you feel like you look good. I just think it's bullshit, basically. And I have the opportunity to actually be able to stand up and say that and try and stand for something a little bit different. I am nowhere near perfect. I am definitely fallible, and there is still loads and loads of work for us to do to be more inclusive. So at the moment, because we're like a relatively small company, we try and we do 6 sizes, which is an XS, so a UK size 8, up to a double XL, which is UK size 18. So we're not going up into plus, we're not going down into like super petite. And I would absolutely love to, but the honest answer is we just can't afford to hold that much stock at the moment. And like redevelop patterns and stuff. But that's one of the things, like in the future, I've had some conversations with some great body positive ambassadors. And thankfully they've been really understanding and have totally understood why we haven't got there yet. And are kind of on hand for when we do get there to kind of help us and guide us through these things and like, you know, to get to the right space. But I guess in short, I just think everyone deserves to feel great. Like we're all special. We've all got something. And
yeah,
it just shouldn't be so focused on what you look like. It should be about what's inside an awful lot more. But at the same time, if you want to look a certain way or you want to do a certain thing, then like go for it. And I'm going to cheerlead you on for getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you said something really interesting was that you have this like blind, you had this like blind spot in marketing. And I remember I went through that too, where it was like, I was, you know, celebrating women, like really focusing on, you know, for me, it was focusing on, you know, fitness versus like body image and all those things. And like having this aha moment that there was what I was thinking, and then still finding that like my wording and my marketing, like I look back at my marketing 8 years ago and it's like, let's get abs. And I'm like, oh God. Like, what the fuck? Like, lose weight now. Ask me how. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, like, you're great as you are, but also get more skinny. It's like, no, hang on. I know better than this. Stop it. Yeah. Don't be a part of the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And it's funny though, because I feel like it's also so ingrained in us. And I don't know if you encounter that too, but it's like, I feel like for me, it's a constant like catching of myself, asking myself, like, what is my messaging? What am I really trying to say? Is this my authentic message? Or is this sort of me regurgitating some like old programming, you know?
Yeah, it's really, really, well, I guess like it is really tough, but it's also actually being conscious of those things. And I think that's the space where we get to change and challenge perceptions. And there's also this whole thing going around at the moment. And I do agree with it in a lot of ways, but it also presents a bit of a challenge that when somebody is the minority, it's not their job to educate you. But at the same time, as somebody who isn't the minority, you know, yes, I'm minority in that I'm a woman, but I'm also white, blonde, relatively slim, and from kind of a upper working class, lower middle class background. So there's a lot of privilege that I have there. So actually I need to make sure that I make space for other people to talk, and that I listen to what they're saying and I listen to their experience. And also kind of making sure that my education about what I should be doing doesn't rely on somebody else having to explain their pain. which is like, yeah, it's kind of like a bit of a bit of a challenge.
Right. Cause it's like it's learning how to be open enough to be aware, right. And to be considerate, but at the same time, like it's, if you don't know, you don't know. And so
yeah. It's
really being open to like hearing like, hey, this isn't working for us, or hey, like consider this messaging. Right.
Yeah. But also kind of stepping into it and going, well, hang on, if I was looking at this from somebody from that position, how would I feel about it?
Yeah.
And actually trying to understand some of those things without expecting somebody else to kind of come in and effectively, I mean, obviously being a small brand, we don't have advisors who come in and go, well, you know, within our community, this is considered not okay or whatever. But actually, so having to kind of do that yourself. But I think it's great. I think it's really important to try and do that and to try and think, well, how would this feel? And how would I feel if it was the other way around and it was me in that position?
Right. Now, how do you feel like, because I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you've really been focusing a lot on, you know, celebrating outwardly and things like that. How do you feel like women can, on like a broader scale, really continue to be like celebrating and acknowledging each other?
I think it's actually kind of in some ways really simple, but some ways really not, because like you said, so much stuff is so ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you look at, you know, if you're scrolling through Instagram and you're looking at three people's posts and you're kind of thinking mean things, like I'm not going to lie. I sometimes look at people's stuff and I think things and I'm like, hey, don't be a bitch.
Me too.
Where did that voice come from? How would you feel if somebody else is looking at your stuff and like was like, being just an asshole internally, like don't do it. And if you don't want to look at it, just don't look at it. So I think questioning when you hear that internal voice, like thinking to yourself, you know, is that really who I want to be? Is that really what I want? And I also think when you see somebody doing well, you know, like cheer them on, celebrate them, share them. I quite often, there's quite a lot of kind of smaller businesses, or there's a girl called Kelly who is Scandinavian, and she modeled for me like maybe this time last year. She also does a jewelry brand. So every time I see her posts, well, not every time, but quite often when I see her posts, particularly when I know it's like she's got a sale on, or, you know, she does really nice like resin and glitter jewelry, and she does a lot that have like tunnels, so you could have like if you've got stretched ears you can still wear them and stuff. So I know it's going to be stuff that my community is really going to want to see, but also I know that me sharing it for Kelly, who's like working her ass off doing this as a side hustle, could make that little bit of a difference and get her a little bit more. And it's just nice to share stuff like that where you're like, hey, look how cool this person is, they do this thing, you know. So just finding the opportunity, creating the opportunities actually to promote people.
Right. And just actively choosing. And I think too, like, so within like the roller derby community, right? Like we have a lot of women that come into the sport. They aren't necessarily athletes. And so they come into the sport and it's really a hard, long haul in the beginning because, you know, they're learning to be athletes. They're learning to work out, which is a lot of what I do, is help them like shift that mindset and then physically shift their bodies. But it's so easy to compare yourself to someone else and not want to celebrate them, or, you know, feeling that like jealousy or whatever. And it's like, oh, because, you know, maybe they're like doing better than you or going faster than you. And I think it's like you said, you know, it's really catching in your head, like, what is the story that I'm creating here? And is it my story? Like, do I choose this story? Is this true? Does it serve me? Yeah. Like, is this person doing better really like screwing me over, or can I cheer them on? Like, how can we create something where we're like all moving together, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, like, I guess in the same way, you know, because the kind of vintage 50s, rockabilly, whatever one you call it, scene in England is pretty small. So a lot of the other businesses around my size, I know, and I know the girls who run it. And you can kind of see what other people are doing. And, you know, some of them are absolutely flying and it's amazing. My girl Cam, who runs a business called Bow and Crossbones, she's a really good friend of mine, but I say that and we probably talk to each other like twice a year, if that. But seeing how well she's doing is always really great. There's always a bit of me that has like the green-eyed monster that comes out that's like, oh my God, she's doing so much better than me whenever I see stuff on social media. But I try and look at that and go, well, hang on, like, why is she doing better? What is it that she's doing? What can you learn from her? Mm. And I guess the same thing with, like, you know, with exercise or anything else is, it's very rarely a straight line. You know, we kind of have this idea that you set yourself on your trajectory and you'll consistently move in that one direction. It's just not, it definitely is not how it happens from my experience in fitness. Yeah. So, you know, that person who's just picked something up really quickly, you know, and if there's two of you that started at the same time and you know, girl B is doing great and you're sat there as girl A being all sulky, well, you never know, you're going to come across something that you might be great at and they really struggle at, and actually it might feel like in some ways you overtake them on something else. So just see what you can learn from them, cheer them on. And if someone, and I guess the other thing is, which is, can sometimes sound a bit cynical, but if someone's doing great, like, befriend them and see how you can, like, what can you learn from them and how can you get to that position too? Yep. Rather than sit in hatred, because that's, it's just, it means your life is going to be full of hate and nobody wants that.
No, you don't need to be drawing any of that bullshit to yourself. And yeah. And I think it, I mean, I feel like it's okay to, so many times I think we give ourselves shit, like, oh, I can't believe I'm feeling that way, or blah. It's like you said, like, it's okay to have those feelings. It's just catching it and going, okay, well, what can I learn? Like, how can I actually emulate whatever they're doing? You know, like, there is an opportunity for us to lift each other up if we just stop fucking hating and help each other. Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you kind of, you know, readdress it and kind of twist your energy into being, okay, I feel bad at myself, or I feel not good with myself because I don't feel like I'm doing as well. And it's like, okay, but what have they got in place? You know, have they got better support? Have they got more time? And if they've got more time, be really honest. Is there some stuff that you're holding on to so that you get to be a bit of that victim? And just kind of, yeah, really, really look at what it is that they are doing. And also understand that actually quite often, you know, anything on social media, it is people's highlight reels. Mm. It is not their real life. You have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. So, like, I'm not saying look at it and just go, oh, it's all fake. But do you know what I mean? You don't have to take it so personally that everyone else is doing great and you're sat there still in your pajamas at 4 p.m. on Saturday because you've got nothing else to do with your time. Like, that's fine. Yeah. They've actually just shared all the pictures from, like, that one holiday they were on back in May. And, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's so easy to, like, take people's social media as, like, the only thing going on in their life. And that's something I've really worked on, is being as real and as honest as I can with people about my own life, because I, you know, everybody has fucking problems. You know what I mean? And I think that there's a difference between bitching about it and proactively being like, hey, here's what I'm struggling with and here's what I'm learning. But I think that it's important that we're open with each other, because it's so easy to think that everyone's life is fucking perfect if you just look on social media.
Yeah, totally. And actually, potentially, you know, those women that you compare yourself to on social media, it might be that all their pictures, they look absolutely perfect because they are so full of insecurity that they rely on the validation of looking perfect in these pictures. You know, there's all sorts of ways. So if instead of looking at it as, like, you're the victim all the time, and you kind of go, well, hang on, like, you know, sometimes I look like this, and sometimes I think it's just giving ourselves room not to just be one person. I think social media is great because there's weird connections like this, which is just fantastic and just so exciting, that can come out of it. And then there's also so much stuff where I think we end up in a dark room staring at this little lit up box, kind of really damaging our perception of reality. Whereas actually, even if we were just sat looking out the window, we'd potentially be having a better experience, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually, so just kind of how you and I met up, I actually make it a point to, like, and I think sometimes people think I'm, like, crazy, but literally I'll go through the people that like all my posts and reach out and be like, hey, thanks for liking my shit. Like, what did you like about it? Like, let's start a conversation. Because I think it's so easy for social media to be isolating when yeah. it can intentionally be, like, the start of a relationship or the start of a conversation or the start of something good. Do you have, like, a, what's your relationship with social media? Like, do you live on it all day? Do you, like, limit it? Like, how do you sort of manage, like, the mind fuck that is all social media things?
So I don't have, I technically have two personal Facebook accounts because I tried to shut one down. And then because it's the admin of the business page, I can't shut it down because I need it to do certain things. So I have two, neither of which I use. I think loads of people think I'm an absolute asshole because they've messaged me on it and I haven't replied or the rest of it. But I just don't check it. I just don't look at it. The only time I've used it for any personal gain was in like the last like 3 years or something, was a couple of weeks ago in Vietnam, and I'd been really sick and I wanted to order a takeaway pizza, and the only way I could order it was through Facebook messaging because
that's awesome.
I know, at that point I was so happy for it, but for the most part I don't use Facebook personally. I do have a personal Instagram, but it's now set to private. And I don't really post much on there. I now put a bit more up in my stories. And it's lush because there's some people, like I've got a friend from uni, he's in Australia. And we talk on there now, and that's really nice. But most of the time, like, I don't really do the whole thing, and I don't do it because I have to do it for work. And I struggle with that. And I actually, right at the beginning, before we started recording, you saw me chatting to Sabrina, who is my kind of marketing help, who is typing away in the background here. And she does a lot. She does all the Facebook and Twitter management now, because I just find it really, really stressful. And I also find, for me, from the business point of view, like, it's actually much better with me giving direction in terms of what I want. So the approach is, you know, women supporting women, supporting women, supporting women, like lift as you climb, that kind of idea. But actually, if I'm doing it all the time and someone says something about how much like they don't like what I've done or like complains about something, then because I'll end up getting hurt and taking it personally because it feels like a personal insult, even though it's at the business and not at me, right, then I'm actually better off not touching it. I'm kind of better off not being too involved. I'm looking to be able to step away a little bit more. So, and also the other thing is, if I can step away a little bit from all the scheduling, then it means that when I do go into it, I'm on these things because I genuinely have, you know, like half an hour where I'm like, right, I'm going to go through and look at things that I'm actually interested in, and then be able to comment and have conversations with people that feel really genuine. And a bit that I really struggle with about it and that I'm not keen on is where it doesn't feel genuine. It doesn't feel authentic because it is presenting this like glamorized idea of who you are when actually, you know, you're posting and you're just sat in your pajamas and you haven't worn makeup all week, and that's fine.
So you're really it sounds like you're pretty intentional and careful about the time that you're spending on social media just to.
Yeah. And I also like, there's points where if I do get sucked in the hole, I'm like, is this doing what you want? Like, I'm quite focused. I'm like, does this hit this target you have this week? I'm like, no. I'm like, okay, put you down. And I will literally throw my phone across the room into the sofa, or like throw it in my handbag and be like, I'm not looking at you.
We're done here. Yeah, I always ask myself, like, if I catch myself scrolling, is like, is this making me feel better or worse? Like, what is this right now adding to my life? And that's a helpful one for me to put it down. Cause I find a lot of times, like, I start scrolling through and I'm going through like these conversations of like, oh, look at all these people. Oh, look at their happy relationships, blah, blah, blah. Cause I'm like single and traveling the world, which is awesome. But sometimes it's really lonely. And so I can get into these like funnels of like, oh, maybe I should have stayed in the US, and maybe, you know, if I only had stayed, maybe I would have like ended up in a relationship, like all these, but it's like so easy to go down this fucking tunnel where, for all you know, the happy pictures that people are posting on Instagram was like right after they got in a fucking fight and they're on the verge of breaking up. And like, you know, we just sort of assume that it's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, there is somebody that I was, that I kind of, I remember distinctly looking at and just thinking like her and her partner look just so cute. And it was just like, oh my God, like they just look great and blah, blah, blah. And then they broke up and I was like, oh. Wasn't like, I did not see that coming. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because people, I think it's really important that, particularly when you're doing something that is a brand and you're not Coca-Cola, you're not Nike, you're not like the big players, actually the people who run those brands make so many decisions that it is important that they are like kind of front of center in terms of kind of like the marketing and the approach, because that's a big part of who the brand is their ethics and their morals and their ethos. But at the same time, it then does mean that potentially a lot of personal stuff ends up on there that can be a bit painful and a bit uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's something inside of marketing right now in general is people know when you're not being authentic. And it's like, if you're going to be especially any kind of a personal brand, like you have to be willing to be honest about who you are and what you're about. And, you know, the fact that things aren't perfect, you know, because people can smell it. People can smell it from a mile away.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, I think it's really good as well that it's gone that way. And I think that that's, I think that that's a really good kind of result, I guess, of what people would call the kind of like millennial approach to things, where it's like, well, I can see that you're lying, so stop telling me it's all hunky-dory. Like, it can be a bit painful sometimes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So talk to me more. So you had mentioned, you know, women supporting women, supporting women, supporting women. I was like so interested in what you guys are doing with all of your ethically sourced like clothing, labor, all of that stuff, what you're doing with like sending kids to school. Like, tell us about this and like how it really started. Because I think that there's probably a lot of women too that think about starting businesses, but like would love the idea of like, you know, being able to help other women in the process. Like, I love what you guys are doing.
So I guess like the kind of the full background of everything is like the business was started while I was working a full-time job with an hour commute in either direction. Mm-hmm. And I would get home and have about 2 hours in the evening to do a bit of work. At that point, I had a MySpace page and I would handmake everything. Yeah, old school, right? And I would like handmake everything. And then I basically decided that I wanted to try and like handmaking everything was giving me serious backache. And I realized that I didn't really want to do production, but I love designing things and I love the kind of creative side of it all. So I decided that I was going to move into production. And at that point, I tried to keep it all made in the UK because that felt really important at the time. And then over the years, that all kind of changed. And I basically got given the opportunity to start working with a factory in India, which is the person that we work with, the factory that we work with for all our woven stuff. Mm-hmm. And there is, if you have a look on the website, one of the pages, I think it's like ethical sourcing, has a bunch of pictures of all the women that work there. And this factory is amazing. It is run by a really lovely gentleman. And it's actually named after his mum. And he, so the way that it, I know, it's so sweet. The way that it works is he basically makes all the clothes and then two of his brothers live in kind of Goan resort towns and they sell the clothes in their shop. So they all are kind of a part of this almost like micro industry, like this family micro industry. And the three different companies all put in X percent of their profits into the scholarship, which provides education for children in, I have to get some clarity with Ashok on this. I know it's definitely the village where his factory is. I don't know if it is also the two towns where the shops are as well. Mm-hmm. But what that means is that you've got these families in really impoverished part of India who get to, like, the kids get to go to school every day. And Ashok's point of view is that if it weren't for the fact that he got an education, he wouldn't be running his business, his kids wouldn't be going to school, he wouldn't be doing all the things that he's able to do. And he wants to help make sure that, like, all of the kids get to go and get an education because it means that they can kind of better themselves and better their lives. But also, and this bit is really heartbreaking, in some cases, this is definitely isn't for the families where the women work for his factory, but in some cases, if the kids aren't going to school, like, they won't definitely have a good meal that day. Because if they go to school, they definitely get food.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's pretty kind of heavy stuff when you think, like, certainly living in the UK, you know, there are a lot of food banks, but there's not that much, that level of poverty. Mm. So they do that. It's one of the things that at the moment, because we're doing a bit of a shift around on some of our stuff, we've not quite got the space to donating to that, but I'm looking to introduce that next year so that we'll start donating X percent of profits from items made at that factory back into their basically into their like charity fund pot. Mm-hmm. But then the other thing that Ashok does, the guy who runs that factory, is he only employs women. And he pays them 20% more than they would do in like a office administration job in town. And you know, similar to the UK, office administration jobs are normally better paid than, you know, your kind of shop work or whatever. And like, that's just amazing. And all the women there are so happy. It's really lovely. So it's not certified as fair trade because it costs a lot of money to do that. So he hasn't actually done it, which is the thing. When you see something that's been certified fair trade, they literally have to pay thousands and thousands of pounds for the full audit and the full certification. But I go there once a year and I normally end up sat on the floor attempting to have a conversation with about three women where, I mean, maybe there's about 100 words in English that is understood in the whole room. and like, so that's always a bit of a challenge. They find it hilarious that I'm 35 and not married. It's like the weirdest thing for them. And yeah, I just sit on the floor and like trim garments with them and drink chai tea and have a bit of a chat. And they've just recently, a couple of them, last time I was there, I think two of them had smartphones.
No kidding. That's amazing. And I love that you go out there.
Yeah, they'd learned, one of the words they now know is selfie. I took a lot of selfies in that factory. But it was great. They're really, really mischievous. They're really lovely. And it's amazing to be able to be there and know that like what I'm doing helps these women and their lives. And it's so like emotionally warming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So it's like all sides of it are like women helping women, like from the back end to like raising women up on the front end and all of that. So cool. Okay. So you just mentioned something that I have to ask about. Okay. So tell me about, so I'm 36 and not married. How is this for you being 35-year-old single woman?
It's mostly pretty good. I normally look back and go, God, thank God I didn't marry you. I kind of occasionally have that thing where like, I know that if I were ever to get married or have kids, then like my grandparents wouldn't be there now. And that there was a point where my granddad was dying last year, and that kind of was a bit upsetting. But mostly I feel like, if it's meant for me, it won't pass me by. And like, we'll just kind of see what happens, you know?
Yeah. It's an interesting, I keep encountering a lot more women like my age that are like never married, no kids. And it's, I just think it's so fascinating. Like just sort of the direction that culture is going in general, where there's like so many women that are just building awesome careers and doing fucking cool things for the planet. And that in itself is like sort of like a fulfilling baby.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's amazing that we have the choices. Do you know what I mean? Like I kind of talked to my mum about it, and my mum's had four kids, the youngest of which is 13 years younger than me. So he's 22. She's kind of like, it's sort of weird and amazing now that I've got all this time by myself, because I spent so long being a mum that, whereas like I know myself really well because I've spent 35 years with myself, dealing with myself, working out what I want and not having to really put anybody else's needs before mine. Mm. And my mum's always like, you know, I didn't get that. Just as I was kind of forming and working out who she wanted to be, then she married my dad. I mean, I think they were 19, like fucking crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. And by the time she was in her mid-20s, she had two girls. She had two little girls and was a single mum, you know? And like, it just, I think we, like, I guess it's a similar kind of things I was saying before. Like, for me, it's like, you've always just got to try and approach things with love and understanding. And like, so whenever I look at things that maybe women in my mum's generation did whilst they were calling themselves, or like saying that they were feminists, but perhaps were doing things that we wouldn't nowadays consider as like a feminist thing. It's like, well, I can't hate on you for it, because you were just doing the best you could with what you had and what you knew. And because of the work that they've laid down, we're now in this position where you're traveling the world and like doing podcasts and having a dog shout at bells, and I'm doing the things I'm doing, and like, unless I'm in India, nobody really judges me for not being married.
Yeah,
it's a great place to be.
It's pretty fucking amazing. Yeah. Like how far we've come in such a short period of time, you know? It's
yeah.
It's crazy. So if you had advice for your younger self, like your 15-year-old self, whether it comes to, you know, self-love or body image or, you know, just being in her own skin, what would be your advice for your younger self?
I think probably just listen to your gut and listen to your intuition. Because there's definitely decisions and choices that I've made throughout the years that had I approached them slightly differently, or had I actually listened to what was internally going on for me, I wouldn't have ended up down some routes that may well have saved a lot of hurt and heartache. So I think like just kind of listen to yourself and don't worry so much about that thing that looks great and if it doesn't pan out, because there's always something else coming along. There's always, you know, be it guys, be it a business opportunity, be it friends, be it, you know, holidays or whatever it is. Sometimes, you know, there's things that come along that look so enticing and you kind of grab at it with all hands and then won't let it go. And actually, you sort of know deep down inside that something's a bit rotten in Denmark. And if you feel like that, just leave it alone. It's fine. Something better will come along.
Yep. Having having that trust and faith in the universe that there's always more coming.
Absolutely. And that it will just come and it will just happen. And, you know, don't sweat it.
Yeah. I love it. What about like the next generation? I mean, cause you're very in touch with like the feminine movement, everything that's going on. Like, what do you feel like is going to be the biggest challenge for this next generation of girls?
I feel like there's a real, have you read Female Chauvinist Pig? It's really interesting. Why have I forgotten her name? I read another book by her as well. Really interesting book. And it's actually, it was actually kind of written at the beginning of the noughties, when you had that, the post 90s kind of, in the UK, we had like, the kind of like lad culture and like the kind of ladette thing. And then you also had, you know, like Juicy Couture and those insanely low rise jeans and a lot of like celebrities, like videos being leaked and all of that kind of stuff. And one thing she discusses in there is about this idea that, you know, women feeling like they can only really be models and guys feeling like they can only really be like footballers. And that's kind of the route to like fame and satisfaction. And I guess I feel, depending on which bit of kind of society you're talking to, there are a lot of people who are really savvy on this stuff now, which is great. Mm-hmm. But to the people who aren't quite so much, like, just think about what it is you really want to be. Mm-hmm. And don't be scared of reaching for it, you know? And sometimes, actually, if you go for that thing that feels a bit ridiculous, don't quieten yourself, don't dim yourself down, don't dim your light, just go out and be like the fucking badass greatness that you are and like shine and sparkle all over everything. Because we just need more of that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's a really good point. Like, I feel like this next generation has to be really on guard with marketing. You know, like you said about like, it's just so inundating that if you're not aware, it will very easily just drive you in whatever direction the wind is already going.
Yeah. And it's like suddenly before you know it, you know, I just find it crazy when I see girls walking around and they're like 13 and seriously, I do not know how they afford that much MAC. Like, I cannot afford that much MAC makeup. It's insane. It's just blows my mind. I don't even have words for it. And I just want them not to feel like they have to do that or be that, you know? Unless it is really, really who they think they are and really, really what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's always, there's always going to be that level when people are younger and you just have so much pressure to fit in with what society wants you to do. So like, just fuck it. Rules are there to be broken. Things are made to be like questioned, you know, the status quo, question it. why is this like this? Does it really make sense? Is that really what I want to do? No. Then don't worry about people thinking you're an asshole because you don't want to do it. Just don't do it.
Yes. Yes. I fucking love it. Hell yes. My brain just stopped working.
I have that all the time.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about just in terms of like your brand and like sort of how you came about, what you guys are committed to? Is there anything on that topic we want to jump into?
Like I've kind of covered it. I'm always open to feedback, but if it's rude, please don't do that. Just always be nice. And you'll get a much better response and you might even get a discount code.
That's, I think, actually a really interesting thing about personal brands. Is it's one thing when it's a corporation, right? And there's some person like sitting in some call center, you know? And I think that with social media, even with the person in the call center, I mean, they're a fucking human being too. But like, it's so easy when we have a problem with something or we have either an issue with a product or a problem with a message or whatever, it's so easy to so quickly become a troll and to not say, to say something to someone online that you would never say to their face.
Oh my God. Absolutely. And I'm really pleased and I'm really lucky because most of the time the responses that we get are really positive. And if they are negative, I normally try and take it offline. And that's not because of a lack of, like, I am all about being transparent. There is so much transparency with our business and our production and, you know, our size ranges and a whole bunch of things, you know, why we do sale, when we do sale and stuff. But there are some conversations that I actually think is better to have privately. For instance, there's a pin, I'd put up some pictures of, and we'd done some paid advertising on some of our jeans because we specifically cut jeans for women's body shapes based on measurements that we've had throughout the years from an original set of measurements that we had on Facebook years ago and then going to loads of events and shows and seeing how things fitted correctly and how things fitted incorrectly on people's bodies. Whenever anybody sends a pair of jeans back, I ask them for feedback so that I can understand, you know, what's going to be the next most popular option to create something that's going to help people be able to wear, particularly because we do high-waisted stuff, right? So your hip, your waist, your rise, that whole variance is pretty dramatic on different bodies. So getting those things right is really important. And for me, having a good pair of jeans is like a wardrobe staple, absolute must. I will wear them day in, day out. This girl had commented on some paid advertising and basically said that we weren't ethical because of our sizes wasn't as a wider range as she would like. And I kind of saw that and like, in all honesty, my heart sunk. And I was just like, God, what do I say? Because it's like, I'm trying, but you know, we're a kind of micro company. It's me and directly dealing with the factories and then, you know, like about 5 or 6 other people that work on like a freelance basis with us. But we took the conversation offline and actually it was great. And she had some really good questions and so it was something, things that gave me room to kind of think about, you know, what we wanted to do and what direction we wanted to go in. But she also was really understanding. So like, that's one of the things I tend to try and do is like, just keep it off because it can so easily turn into a massive, you know, kind of slagging match. And then somebody's friend like chimes in and then next thing you know, there's like, you know, 50 odd people all commenting on this post and it gets totally out of hand and then you have to delete it and then everyone complains that you've deleted it and like, it's just, thinking about it has just made me tired. Like,
oh, the dumpster fire on the internet.
Yeah, basically. So thankfully, most of our stuff is pretty positive. And I actually see sometimes, like every so often, there is a bit on our descriptions of our jeans, we talk about our classic cut, which is, and it's in like quote marks, like for standard body shapes. And by that, what I mean is when you go into a shop and you buy something, there is a ratio between your hips and your waist that is considered the industry standard. I'm not saying any bodies are standard. I'm not saying that I think that's right at all. And in fact, I clearly say in the description that I don't think that it's right. And somebody else had kind of gone, got funny about that. And I was so touched and so pleased because another member of like our kind of Facebook community replied and went, I think you've misread that. Like, I don't think that's what's being said here at all. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing because I just could kind of like leave it and like be like, well, if you want to have a discussion, you can email me and not have to sort of get involved to this potential shitstorm that I didn't want to deal with.
That's awesome. I love it when like when you do have a tribe too, you know, it does help when there's people there to help like clarify your messaging and things like that, because things are all misconstrued. Internet is so fucking dangerous.
Absolutely.
So let's do this. Before we get into our top five, I wanted to first have people know where they can find you. Where can they find you on Instagram, your website? Like, where is the best place for them to reach out for you, follow your stuff, all of that?
So best one is probably either Instagram or Facebook. On both of those, if you type in Lady, then just the letter K, and then Loves, L-O-V-E-S, all as one word, and we will show up on both of those. We are also on Twitter, but we don't use that so much. And we do have some Pinterest pages as well, which is a lot of kind of like inspo stuff. So if you just want to go and see some really cute pictures, and there's like some sustainable living things on there, and there's some motivational quotes on there, and there's just some pictures of some badass babes and some really cool chicks, then go check those out as well.
Hell yeah. Okay, so awesome. I noticed on your website, I noticed that you guys were anti-Black Friday, and this is actually the first year that I've really decided not to do Black Friday. Like, being outside the U.S. and, like, I don't know, just being outside of, like, the maybe, like, the materialistic madness. I don't know. I just feel like I've got a different level of clarity around just materialism in general, and I couldn't fucking do it this year. And I giggled because your website, you were like, we're not doing it. So what was your reasoning behind it? I'm curious.
So for us, we tend to do two sales a year. We do one in August and we do one after Christmas. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of like the big ones. And over maybe like the last 4 years, I've started doing Black Friday and I've done some Black Friday and I have fucked it up. And I'm so sorry to those girls. There was definitely some stuff that we had on pre-order and then we put it in the Black Friday sale and someone commented on that. And I felt awful because actually they raised a really valid point. Like, people who'd bought stuff at pre-order and then it turned up and then the next day it was in Black Friday. Like, that's not cool. So yeah, we had kind of done it. And I have friends who are American, and I think there's so many traditions that you've got that's great. And I love Thanksgiving and the idea of like giving thanks for what you've got. But I do feel like my understanding of Black Friday was that it was invented by advertisers and marketers and corporations to increase their sales on the worst day of the year. And that's kind of feels very capitalist, and as a slow fashion and ethical fashion company, I'm like, my morals got a bit twisted over that. It's not my place to judge, but for me, I understand giving thanks to your family and giving thanks for your family being alive side of Thanksgiving. I think that the way that Native Americans have been treated and continue to be treated isn't awesome. And I guess, you know, there's a kind of a nod to a political comment on that. And we're British, you know, I'm English, and like, it's kind of not our thing to jump in on. And I would just prefer to hold back and then come the post-Christmas sale and the January sale, just go like all out. And I know particularly as well for a lot of our community and a lot of our customer base, actually before Christmas, you know, they're looking to spend money on their family and on their friends for their Christmas presents. And then after Christmas, they've potentially got some money to spend on themselves. Mm-hmm. So rather than make it almost like more difficult for them by doing potentially a bigger discount in November, because I feel like I should, I just want to hold back and be like, okay, now it's your time. Like, beginning of January, buy yourself some new things, make yourself feel great, start the year how you want to start it, and just like off you go.
Yes, I love that. And I think it's funny too, right, that you think about Thanksgiving as this magical day in the US, and it's like, oh, it's time to be with your family and have gratitude. And then the next day it's like, brutal consumerism. Like,
buy more shit.
You can't be grateful. You must have more things. So crazy.
Yeah. Well, and it just doesn't sync up.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, actually, you know, traveling abroad and like staying with a lot of, you know, people from other countries, I had people like on Thanksgiving be like, what is Thanksgiving exactly? And I was like, well, let me tell you about the fairy tale that we were told when we were children about how Christopher Columbus came over and settled with the pilgrims and they gathered all the Indians and they had a magical dinner together. And they're like, wait, didn't like all the Indians and Native Americans die from all the diseases? And like, yeah, we just leave that part out. You know, it's more like, it's such a funny holiday.
Yeah, like the best, my best understanding comes from Adam's Family, right? Which I know is probably like, again, it's like the Hollywood version, but that whole scene where Wednesday, I can't remember what she says, but something about the gods being displeased or something, and then sets fire to the whole set. And I'm like, yeah, I go with that one a little bit more.
Right? Yes, that sounds a little bit more like it.
Give me the anarchy and like an Indian warrior princess. That's a little bit more where I want to be.
Fuck yeah. Indian warrior princess.
Yeah, just amazing.
Yep. All right. So every episode we do a top five list. And Cassie and I have decided that we are going to do our top five tips for good social media hygiene, since we've talked so much about social media today. So basically, we'll each share, Cassie will share one, I'll share one, we'll go back and forth. We're going to give you our top five tips on how we keep our brain space clean and how maybe you can, you know, do the same with some good vibes from social media instead of it just taking over our lives and things. So what do you got, my dear? What do you got for number one?
I have got, so number one, and this is something, I follow a woman called Mel Robbins, who is amazing.
Yes.
You know Mel Robbins?
Yes. She's the magic, like magic three or something. Like you count.
5, 4, 3, 1.
Yes.
Yeah. She is just boss. And I love the fact as well, she's probably one of the first, like, you know, the kind of like self-improvement, whatever person that I've seen who, swears loads in her videos, and it's great. Like her and Marie Forleo just swearing it out make me so happy. Yeah. But one of the things that Mel Robbins does is Unfollow Friday, which I really love. And that is where basically you set aside a little bit of time on a Friday to unfollow or just hide from people that maybe aren't making you feel great when you see their stuff come up. So like unfollow, block, hide, whatever. Like, it's supposed to be your feed. It's supposed to be things that make you feel great. I fully admit there are some people that I am still connected with on social media, but I'm actually really not connected with anymore in real life. If I were to remove them, it would make a statement. But I can just, like, slyly hide their stuff, and then they don't interfere on my day, and it doesn't, you know, kind of impact me in a negative way. So I am definitely an advocate for doing that.
Ooh, I love that. I actually had similar for number one. I just said unfollow accounts that don't serve you. So yes, hashtag unfollow Friday. I think it's funny though, like what you said about like people get really upset. Like I did I hit 5,000 friends on Facebook, and every time I would delete one, it would go, you can't have any more friends, blah, blah, blah. So I used like there's actually a Google plugin that will go through all your friends and sort them by most to least active. And the people that were like on the bottom third of that list that didn't comment, didn't look at my stuff, I just cut them out completely like 2 years ago. And every once in a while, I'll get someone, you know, 2 years later that will message me on Facebook being like, hey, I just noticed that we're not friends anymore. I don't know what this is about. I don't know if I did anything to you, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, I ran a bot 2 years ago and unfriended you.
You cared so much, it took you 2 years to spot this. Like, probably not really that bothered, are you?
Right, but I'll happily friend you back if it will mean the world to you. Yeah.
And it's like, it's not purposeful, it's just like, or rather, it's not like intentionally hurtful, it's just, at that point, we were connected, and now things have changed, and sometimes, you know, people are there for a reason, a lifetime, or, you know, a lesson, and that's fine.
Yeah, and sometimes you can have friends that you have in real life, but maybe their stuff doesn't serve you online, and you want to just hide that shit, you know?
Oh my God, absolutely. I've got friends who just share constant pictures of their babies, and they're really lovely, but mostly I think that person is really awesome, and I'm friends with them and not their child on social media, so I would like to see way more of them So I just never engage with the posts about them, hoping that the algorithm, or sorry, with the posts about their babies, hoping that if I do engage with the ones about them, the algorithm will like work it out and stop showing me the stuff that I'm not.
Dear algorithm, please see that I do not like the baby photos. Puppy photos, yes. Baby photos.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my God. What did you have for number two?
Number two, I have time. So measure and review.
That's
kind of the idea. I mean, you can get loads of apps now as well that measure how much time you're spending on different things. Mm-hmm. If you want to get really hardcore on it, then do that. But just when you are like, how much time are you actually spending on this thing? And have an idea of how long it is that you're spending on there and kind of review it. Is that really how much time you want to spend on there? And if it isn't, then cut it back.
Yes. You know what's cool about that is I have so many people that are like, oh, Chrissy, I just don't have time to work out. And I'm like, run one of those apps on your phone and tell me how much time you spend on social media. If it is over 30 minutes twice a week total, then you have fucking time to do some exercise.
Yep. Like, none of these excuses anymore, people. Put down the phone. Pick up the phone.
Track that shit. Mine was sort of similar. I said intentionally scroll because I was really good for a long time about like, my thing was I always said like, I create content, I don't consume content, just because I really was trying to intentionally pay attention. I knew that people didn't intentionally put out into the world content the way I did. So scrolling meant that I was picking up whatever the fuck someone was complaining about, bitching about, especially during like elections and shit. Like, I just refuse. So I really ask myself anytime, like I do choose to like scroll on my phone, is I ask myself, you know, what's my intention with this? Am I going to seek out certain family members to catch up? Am I, you know, trying to get a feel for what people are struggling with so maybe I can write some content about it? Like, just not mindlessly scrolling, because I have to remind myself that there's actually no end to this list. Like, you can't, you're never going to have Facebook be like, hey, you've run out of shit to look at. And so I really try to have a purpose for it. Or if I am scrolling just to fucking scroll, like, I give myself a time limit.
Yeah. Like, have the timer on in the background and then just like when it goes off, go and do something else.
Yep. 100%. Go live your life. 'Cause it's not in your phone.
Oh God. No, I really hope it isn't.
Oh my God. What did you get for three?
So number three, I've got mindful, which is similar to what you were just talking about. And like my little note next to it is like, what is it I'm looking for here? So as well as kind of me attempting to manage the time that I spend on it, I also do a similar thing where like, if I start going down a hole, I'm like, oh, what am I here for? And there's kind of two things that I think about on that. One is like, I think like, is this helping me achieve my goals? And then also sometimes if it is the evening and I'm like scrolling through my personal one, I kind of think like, what is it I'm looking for? And normally I'm looking for a connection, in which case I have WhatsApp, I have text messages, I'm holding a phone and I have loads of friends. Or I could just call one of them. Like, that would be better. So when I hit that kind of point where I'm like, or I try and catch myself where I kind of go, well, why am I here? What is it that I actually want? And then do something that is directly giving me the thing that I want. You know, and if it is shopping, like go and actually look on some websites and actually like do some shopping, or like look on eBay or whatever it is. Or if it is trying to see what some friends are up to, message them, ask them what they're up to, ask them when they're free and when you can like go for a coffee or whatever. So yeah, being like similar to your kind of points before, being mindful, being conscious of why you're there.
Yes. And I think you just touched on a big one, which is what am I actually looking for here? Because like so many of us are looking for connection. And I know for me too, in my travels, that was when I started scrolling again, and I was scrolling out of loneliness and it wasn't helping because then I'm seeing all these people back home. Whereas I could just
break time back.
Yeah, I could just call one of my fucking friends.
Yeah. Rather than being like that kind of like very cinematic image of you at like a window with like rain coming down, like crying, watching all the kids playing outside or whatever. Like, no, just call them. Like, have a play day.
Yeah, or like Saturday nights. Like, I really try to be mindful on like weekends and like Friday nights and stuff, not to scroll. Cause I'm not really a bar person. I don't really go out. And I used to be very much into that scene. I was a bartender for a long time. And so sometimes like, I just have to be really aware of like scrolling on like Friday nights and stuff, because I see people out and blah, blah, blah. And I get like this weird FOMO, but like really it's not like a life that I want. But so I just have to be really aware of like, what is it intentionally that we're putting in our brain, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Cool. My number three was lift others up. And what I mean by that is like, they've actually done research on like the impact that likes versus comments have on people. And people actually have a more positive experience when you comment on their post versus just like it. And it's really easy just to like something. You know, you're going through stuff, you see some friends, but they've actually found that people experience more connection when you comment versus like. So I try to really intentionally, like, especially with like people that are important to me or like friends, like to really like make sure that I don't just like their stuff, but I actually comment on it. Because it does, it has a bigger impact for them versus you just being another little thumbs up number.
Yeah. And it actually not really, you know, or it's just like, it does just become that whole number where it is just like, there's no meaning to it because it is nothing but, you know, one person. So Chrissy and 379 other people like this post. And it's like, well, you're just lost in a crowd then, you know?
Yeah. 100%. What'd you get for number four?
For number four, I have put like, be genuine, be really you. And, you know, sometimes I think you sound like you're quite similar to me, where you tend to be like, you kind of sit on the sunny side of the street and you're pretty positive with things, but sometimes it sort of isn't like that. And so it's kind of okay. You know, I see posts every so often from women and influencers and stuff that we work with where they go, I'm having a really shit time and I'm really struggling at the moment. And actually the responses that come back to that are always so heartwarming. And I'm not saying, you know, be a Debbie Downer and have a little pity party every day. But if you're really feeling something and you're really struggling, like, put it out there, because people will respond really well. You will be surprised by how many people actually give a proper shit about you. And it doesn't always have to be like this beautiful, perfect highlight reel. Sometimes it can be a picture of you like in your stretchy pants because you just had the biggest takeaway and you're just super happy. And that's also great.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, it's such a great place to just be like, hey, I could use some perspective, or hey, like I'm struggling right now. And again, taking it one step further, right? Like you were saying, like we were talking about before, like, what am I looking for here? Like making that post and then asking yourself, like, what am I looking for here? Am I just looking for people to acknowledge it? Or am I looking for, you know, maybe someone that comments, and then you can reach out and call that person directly, you know, like
a place
for that. Yeah. Mine was really similar. I think, I said to really like project positivity, but not from a standpoint of not posting about the hard things, but just understand that there is a ripple effect, and that people who, they did another study where they found that people who read more positive posts tended to also feel more positive. So, you know, if instead of just posting about the shit thing that happened, like really making it a point of like, even if it's a little good thing that happened, like if every single person on fucking Facebook and Instagram or whatever made a point every single day of posting one funny thing that happened, or one thing that they're grateful for, or like giving a shout out to a friend, like it would cause such a massive ripple effect of positivity that everyone's feeds would be full of this stuff that could potentially like take someone who's having a shit day and have them actually feel a little bit better, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's amazing. I love the fact that there's like studies and stuff on this now that you can like go off and find as well. Like that's amazing.
Oh my God. Instagram and Facebook are like these crazy little like microcosms, and they do so many studies on it. It's creepy though, because how they did the study on Facebook is they intentionally showed more positive posts to some people and intentionally showed more negative posts to some people, which is fucking creepy.
So people didn't necessarily know that they were guinea pigs.
Oh no, you have no idea that you're a guinea pig on Facebook. They do stuff like that all the time.
Wow, that is really twisted.
Which is creepy as fuck.
Yeah. See, this is part of why I'd like, I kind of like staying off these things. But it's difficult because I also really need them for work, and there's some stuff that's great about it, and it's always, it's that inner struggle, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Do it, do you not?
Well, and that's, I feel that way too, which is like kind of how some people like really hate cookies and like, and analytics and how everything gets like tracked and whatever. And I'm like, I hate it, but at the same time, I really love it because also we like, you know, run Facebook ads for our business, and without it, I wouldn't be able to reach amazing people. And, but it also is like, you know, creepy when you talk to your friend about like, I don't know, a pair of pants, and then they show up on your Instagram feed for like 6 weeks. You're like, come on.
And they definitely do that. There's definitely things recently where I've gone to type stuff into my phone or like, and it will be like into Google, and it's like, oh, it autocorrects to something that it just has to know that it was definitely listening to me. It was listening to what we were talking about, because there's no way it would have autocorrected to that one thing, you know?
It's so creepy. It's so creepy. Although I have to say, now when I go on Instagram and scroll, I am most of the time more interested in the sponsored posts than I am in the actual posts in my feed, because they've gotten so good at marketing to me what I want that I'm like, yes, I want to go look at that.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I keep getting like crap from Wish that's just like those kind of JML, QVC, like rubbish, like, oh, do you know what I mean? Like that tat that people buy for their house that like...
It's so bad. Thankfully, yeah, no, mine gives me some really good, like it has target marketed me like to a T. I'm like, well done.
Amazing. Maybe I need to be, I don't know, maybe I need to like address my behavior on there and see.
Yeah, maybe I don't like, just be careful what you're clicking on.
Yeah, like what have I clicked on that makes it think that what I desperately want is like a teeth whitening machine or whatever the weird shit was I saw the other day. You're like, oh no, I'm fine, thanks.
But do you, I'm also very particular about, I will hide ads and I'll give the feedback, this is not interesting to me.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And if I've seen it too many times, I'm like, nope, go away. No, I don't want this. But maybe don't do it as often as I should do. So I'm going to start doing that more. So for instance, I feel like I've stopped seeing anything for Gymshark because I was seeing some stuff from Gymshark. And I don't know if you remember, they did an advert a couple of years back where it was this girl walking down the street and even like this blind guy checked her out. And it was just so like shit because it was so unimaginative and like, oh, she looks hot because she's in her Gymshark kit. And so all the guys check her out and someone high fives her. And it's like, oh my God, no, I want to see the girl like getting sweaty and like doing something good and doing pull-ups like Sarah Connor. Like,
yes, I want to see her like flip the dude off for like hollering at her in the street.
Yeah, exactly. Like you could have taken that whole stereotype and twisted it and done something really, really exciting with it. And like, you know, she just went through and like kicked the shit out of every single guy who stared at her. But instead, she just high-fived them. Like, no, that's not why I go to the gym, to high-five guys who check me out. Like,
right. You're like, we're done here, Gymshark. Goodbye.
Exactly. No, I've never seen anything by them since.
Awesome. Yeah. What did you get for number 5?
Okay, so number 5, and I did also have one in my head that was similar to what you just said, which was to like be positive on it. But I actually just put leave it alone. You know, if it's not doing what you want it to do for a while, and I would say even if it is for work, like I schedule stuff sometimes if I'm really busy or if I know I'm going to struggle, and then you can just sit down, you can do it all in one go. But actually, if you're really not enjoying it, just leave it alone, because there's nothing worse than like kind of making yourself drag through and do this thing that you're going to half-ass at because you're not there, like you're not mentally engaged with it. And if it's not bringing you good stuff, like you're not really missing anything by not being on there, you know?
Yeah. And it's so easy to like, just pick up your phone, standing in line, look at my phone, just leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah, just like put it down and do something else. Look at the horizon for 10 minutes. Like,
yep. There's so many other things you can do. My last one go ahead.
I was just going to say, even if it's just like you stare out the window and count how many birds fly by, like potentially if you're not feeling it, like that would actually be more mentally stimulating because you get into like, oh my God, why are there so many seagulls or whatever it is around?
Right? And it's funny because I actually try to do that. Like, I've really been trying to like not use empty space to get on my phone, and I'll like be staring out the window and like looking at the leaves, and all of a sudden my brain's like, oh, but go look at this. And like so many like reflux, like knee jerks, like pick up my phone or check the time or look at my calendar or check my Instagram. Like, it's like, oh, it's so in there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's really so addictive though. So addictive. Ugh.
So crazy. And so my last one is sort of overall phone related. And this is actually something that we do inside of Thrive, which is like my year-long coaching program. I have them do a digital detox. And one of the things that I have them do, I got from this book, I think it's actually called Digital Minimalism, if I remember correctly. And basically you delete essentially all the apps off of your phone. Yeah. And then you only add back in as you need. So that way, like, it's kind of like, you know, if you took all the clothes in your closet and you turned all the hangers around backwards, right? And then as you wear your clothes, you flip it around. And at the end of the year, anything you didn't flip around, you get rid of. So kind of similar. It's like, take all the apps off your phone. And then if you need it, you can re-download it. And that for me helped me just clear out my phone of a lot of like mindless, just extra junk that was on my phone. But also I played around with for a while, keeping Facebook off of my phone. And the only reason I put it back on was for work purposes. But it was magical when I only had Facebook like on my computer or in that like really like clunky, you know, mobile version on the internet on your phone.
Yeah.
It's a great way to stay the fuck off.
Yeah, so because I've been off Facebook for like 3 years and I don't have any of the apps, and I really like that, although I've now done this thing by accident on my WhatsApp that it basically doesn't update unless I open it, and so now every time I open it, it says it's from Facebook, and it makes me, it's like, WhatsApp presented to you by Facebook or whatever, and I'm like, damn it, I thought I got rid of you, and you're like sneaking into my life somehow.
Stupid Facebook taking over everything.
Yeah, it's like, it feels like kind of Freddy Krueger, like you keep trying to kill it and it keeps fucking coming back, man. it's driving me nuts. But yeah, I think that's great, like just deleting things out. Do I use this?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's like, I might do a similar thing, but maybe not delete everything, but like put it all in like a subfolder and I can only pull it out and put it on a page if I use it.
Ooh, yes.
That might be kind of like a fun way.
Yeah.
And one of the other things I want to do, which is kind of a similar concept, but I just keep not doing it, is like on my front, like my first page, because I've got an Android. I'm not an Apple person. And so I've got a limited amount of, I know, are we still allowed to be friends?
I'll still post the podcast.
Thanks. You can be like, it was a bit shit, but here you go. I've got like, I can only have like 8 apps on there. And actually at the moment, Instagram is one of the ones on the front page. And I want to switch that out for something better. And my personal favorite app is Shazam. Because I just love that you can, it like play it nearly any song and it tells you like what's going on. So I am, do you know what? I'm doing it now while we're talking. I'm switching positioning from like number one was Instagram and now it's going to be Shazam.
Nice. I love that. Yeah. Like let your phone represent your true priorities in life.
Yeah. Like, and does that, I want to see, I'll report back and let you know if that helps me like reduce my just mindless scrolling time.
Yes. I love it. Cool. Well, this has been super fucking fun, Kessie. Thank you for taking the time to be on. I knew when we connected, like there was just some serious like girl power sparkle magic happening between us.
Yes, man.
We needed to make it a real thing. I'm sure we'll end up in the same place in the planet at the same time at some point. It's going
to
be nice.
Yay. Oh my God. I really hope so. On my list of things to do is to try and get over to the States. Next autumn is like kind of in my head. I'm like, how do I make this work?
Nice. Come to Costa Rica. I'll be in Costa Rica January through either May or till July. And then I think next fall, I may actually come back to Tenerife. So if you happen down this way.
Okay.
Yeah. Brisket's sadly not allowed to the UK because now that the UK is, you know, not part of the EU on the dog, like even though that nothing's happened yet, like already the dog import rules have changed. So I literally like can't bring him to the UK. You guys are just like,
oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that changed already. Oh, that whole thing makes me like, mad and sad in equal measure, like
madness. But we're over here, and so we will be on this side waiting to hang out with you anytime. But I do just want to acknowledge you. Like, thank you for so mindfully creating a brand that empowers women. Thank you for, you know, being willing to like do the hard work of intentionally like creating messaging and being open to hearing, you know, the stories from women in all areas. I think that's so important. So thank you for being a big sparkling, shining bundle of light for the world. And for those of you guys that are listening, if this is your first time on the Christy Crash podcast, welcome to the fucking family. If you have been listening for a while, thank you for all the time that you are investing into listening to these things. You know, we create them because we want to make your life better. And, you know, like we always say, life is a contact sport, and she who touches the most lives wins. So thank you, Cassie, for being part of touching so many lives. Thank you guys for listening. And we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here.